Welcome back to a special edition of Midday. I'm Gary Eichten, and today we're broadcasting live from Roosevelt High School in South Minneapolis. We're also linked through the magic of radio to North High in suburban North St. Paul and Hills Beaver Creek High in Hills, Minnesota, down in the southwestern corner of the state. Students, teachers, and parents have all gotten together today to assess the state's new graduation standards. This is part of our week-long series of programs and reports on the graduation standards that we're broadcasting here on Minnesota Public Radio. Primary goal of today's program is to hear from these folks on how this new system of education is actually working. We've also been joined, though, by State Education Commissioner Christine Jacks and two key legislators involved in setting state education policy, DFL State Senator Larry Pogemiller of Minneapolis and Republican State Representative Alice Segrin of Bloomington. We'll be getting their reactions to what we're hearing today as well. Now, during the first hour of the program, in case you tuned in late, we spent some time taking a look at the basic skills half of the graduation standard. It's meant to make sure that students know the basics of reading, math, and writing. All students have to pass that test if they want to get a diploma. But starting with this year's 10th graders, students will also have to complete the Profile of Learning, a series of requirements designed to make sure that students have the advanced skills that they will need to prosper in the 21st century. As we noted last hour, to try to fully explain the Profile of Learning would take forever. But suffice to say that students are now required to demonstrate through projects and the like knowledge in 24 out of 48 areas. Theory is that students can no longer get by with rote memorization of facts and figures. They need to know how to apply the knowledge that they have. Profile of Learning has been very controversial. Some people want to scrap it and start over again. Others say the theory is fine. It's just the implementation that needs some attention. Others are saying full speed ahead, both the theory and the implementation are going just fine. Well, today we've gotten the experts together, namely the students, teachers, and parents who are actually working with the profile to get their assessment. Last hour we heard from some of them, so let's get back to that discussion on the profile. Later this hour, by the way, we'll have a chance, they'll have a chance to quiz our three panelists. Three of our reporters have spent the fall and winter at each of our schools preparing materials for this series. And they're helping moderate our discussion this afternoon. Tim Pugmire here at Roosevelt, Kara Hedlund at Hills Beaver Creek, and Jim Bickle at North St. Paul. Tim, why don't you get started here?
Well, Gary, something we heard earlier today, and one of the frequent things that comes up in this discussion is what was wrong with the way things were going in classrooms, the old system. And we have Brian Bass, a social studies teacher here at Roosevelt, with some thoughts on that.
It isn't so much the criticism about the way our education system was working the way before, so much so as the theory behind high standards and basic standards is that all of our students will have at least the same minimum skills across the board, meaning that if a student graduates from high school, we know that they're at least at this level. And that would be a reflection of the entire state, not just affluent and rural communities, that same type of quality student would be produced in urban communities where it's typically that through the social promotion, through some of the things that we have done here, haven't necessarily been the best educational practices. So the theory I embrace wholeheartedly because it's an opportunity to level the playing field for our students and to make sure that they do have these basic standards. So we hold them accountable to those standards, and the reward is that they will be competitive when it comes time to fill out applications for colleges and jobs, that they have some skills that they can go out and sustain an economic lifestyle that is stable. The other part of that is the implementation. And I think part of the criticism that I have with the implementation piece is that we have to find ways to make the substance and the content more rich and more appropriate for the ability levels and the disproportionate educational needs that we have in our context. That's the urban context at Roosevelt High School. And we have an enormous rate of ELL and LEP students, and when we have students who come from low income, we need to know what are the best practices within the packages, the performance packages that they've designed in these 24 high standards. How do we know what the teaching looks like for the type of students and the type of needs that our students have, that this is what's going to work?
Do you have the flexibility to deal with each of these 24 requirements, 48 requirements, in any way you want to in terms of getting the material across?
We have an opportunity to, if we don't agree or necessarily we don't necessarily find that it's effective for our classroom, that the package, the way it's been designed, we can rewrite the package and we can submit it to the district coordinator or whoever that particular person is, and they can and we can get that approved. And several teachers have done that, and one of the teachers in our department has done that. But then you need to understand what that process is. You need to understand what they're looking for in order to rewrite that package. So the opportunity is there, but again, the issue of time and other things play a part in that.
Let's go back to Hills Beaver Creek. Kara?
Thanks, Gary. I have a parent here who wants to talk about some of the mixed messages that we're hearing today as well as throughout the year.
My name is Lois Leonard, and I have been on the parent side of this profile of learning ever since it's kind of been started, learning about what it is. And recently I sat in on a meeting where somebody from the state came down, and they were talking about what's working and why it's working, but then also on what's not working. And one of the teachers had commented about the enormous paperwork, and this person who was representing the state said, but why are you doing the paperwork? You know how Johnny's going to do, so you grade Johnny without, you don't have to look through everything. And I was really confused by that, because I thought this was supposed to put, like the person just said before, everybody on a level playing field. But if teachers aren't going to be required to really look at the packages and just go by according to how Johnny's done before, that is not a level playing field. And I'm not necessarily against all the profiles of learning, but it concerns me. My daughter is a sophomore, and if this doesn't work for these kids, who's going to come back and fix it for them?
Okay. Let's see, who's next here?
That'd be me.
Jim, go ahead.
Well, as you may know, that students have an option of taking college courses in high school, the post-secondary enrollment option, it's known as. And Callie Evans, a 10th grader here at North High School in North St. Paul, has some concerns about how the profile of learning may affect those opportunities.
I feel as the grad centers, what they do is they're kind of like they have a minimum level of many different fields. And in high school, you want to explore what you want to do for your career. You want to explore something that you're good at and that you're going to do for the rest of your life, and you want to expand in that field. Well, if you want to expand and take a post-secondary enrollment option on that, you have to make room for that in your schedule. You have to take a steady course in college throughout the year. Now, in a career investigation class, one that is based on the grad standards, what we did is explored what classes we were going to take our junior and senior year. And first you say, okay, these are the classes I need to pass in high school. And then you say, okay, here are the classes I need to pass for the grad standards. And then you say, okay, here's what I need to get into college. Now, going through all these steps and going through everything and all the classes that I need to take, I cannot take a post-secondary enrollment option because I need to take the grad standards, and that's one of my biggest disgusts of them.
Yeah, it's a kind of the dumbing down of the curriculum because of all these requirements is a common theme we hear.
So if you just took all the classes you'd need to get into college, do what you want to do in college, that wouldn't necessarily ensure that you had the right material to satisfy the profile requirement?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
The sense.
Tim?
Well, Gary, one of the unique features here at Roosevelt High School is the large number of English language learners. And standing here with a parent, Aden Ahmednur. He is a parent of, you have two children currently in the Minneapolis schools, is that correct?
No, I have four children in my kids. One is in Roosevelt High School, two in Sanford, and one is Lindale, and two Head Starts. And I'm speaking on behalf of the Somalian parents. In general, we are seeing that the basic standard test fee is good, but particularly the second language people, and especially the Somalian, we have problem. Our kids, some of them have a short time in school, and the last 10 years they were not get opportunity as other kids. And some of them, they are doing okay. They are competing with their peers, and they are have already passed the standard test. But some of them has a problem, and we think they need extended learning program. And here we have our suggestion to reconsider or make a particular consideration those kids, especially the second language or Somalian, in order to pass this examination. Not only to say they are not passing, because when they come here, they assess only according how they are old. But maybe, you know, a student who come here, he is 15 or she is 16, and just they put 9th grade, 11th grade, or 12th grade, whatever, her or his age. But, you know, they will not consider how many years that kid has in that kid has been in school. So just we say, please, we need reconsideration about the extended learning program. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your comment. Jim?
I'm here with a parent at North St. Paul High School, North High, and her name is Pat Martinez. And as we talked about earlier, the grading scale for the profile of learning is a 1 is sort of basic passing, and then a 4 is excellent, and it falls somewhere in between. You had some concern about how the grading is working so far.
Well, there doesn't seem to be a consistency in the grading from teacher to teacher and even within a department. We had an incident where my daughter received a 100% on the standard work and yet got a 2. Well, a 2 says that they've completed the standard but not at a high standard of level. It doesn't make sense to me. Why not make them pass-fail? Because any of those numbers, 1 through 4, they pass the standard and they can move on. So to me, I just see make and pass fail, and it would solve a lot of the paperwork problems.
And I think that goes to the idea that it's graded on a 12th grade level, no matter what grade the class is taken in, and I think that's what the district has applied for a waiver on.
Jim, you want to try to explain that?
Well, yes. supposedly the philosophy is in the high school level. Everything is graded on what a good 12th grader would do. That's the standard, and so that if I think it's to create this to relieve grade inflation a little bit, or so that when a 9th grader completes an assignment, you look at it and say, well, what would a good 12th grader do? And then so therefore the 9th graders tend to only get 1s or 2s because they haven't gotten the skills yet to get to that level. And so the district here has applied for a waiver, which was granted, that says, well, we can actually grade that on the level that it was completed at, so that 9th graders are compared to 9th graders and so on. And that a lot of people seem to think that makes more sense.
Okay. Let me throw one other thing out here that I'd like some comment on at some point, and not to steer the discussion here, but I just need an answer to at some point, or I'd like an answer to, are these projects, activities and so on that are required by the profile of learning, are they pretty difficult or pretty easy? I'd be interested to get some comment on that. Let's see. Kara, you're next.
I have a lot of nodding heads. The comment from the student who said that she's not able to take the classes that she wants to take, a lot of nodding heads that is a problem here as well. The teachers nodded their heads with the pass-fail comment. Mixed messages, again, that they weren't told until this year that they had to grade at a 12th grade level. So things have been flip-flopped for them for mixed messages. And I have a student here, Matt, who is a sophomore at Hills Beaver Creek, who wants to talk a little bit about money.
All right. I have to say that this is my point of view of the whole thing, and I'm not just talking for myself. I think I'm talking for a lot of people in this room right now. And about the teachers don't like these, and the students don't like these, and you're spending so much money on these things when you could be spending more money on resources for school, and then we could maybe have better technology at our school since we're kind of small here.
Okay. Thanks, Kara. Not exactly a ringing endorsement of the program. Tim?
Here I am with Danielle Minsky, a sophomore here at Roosevelt, who I know has just completed the work of a couple of standards, but one in particular you said was not a good experience.
Well, I didn't make a comment on the lady who said a little while ago about how the standards filter out the slackers. Well, I'm definitely not a slacker, and I failed one of the standards because we had 2 projects shoved in our face at the end of the semester, and I finished the first one that was given to us, but I didn't have enough time to finish the second one, so therefore I failed the standard, and I had to take over the art class over again just to get it. And it's kind of like screwed up my whole course, because I wanted to take an advanced art class. Now I can't, because I have to go back and take the basic art class. And I also like to comment on what you said about are these projects difficult for us? They're really not difficult. It's the fact that it's time consuming. It takes up a lot of our time. A lot of our thinking has to be concentrated on just these projects and not, you know, anything else about, like, what classes we need to take for college. You know, some of us have magnet classes where, you know, like the business magnet you have to take in accounting. There's no standard in that, and we can't take that class so we can, you know, finish the standards, you know. So there's just different things for different people, and the standards just make it more complicated for us. So therefore, it's really stressful, and we're basically pulling our hair out of our head because of this.
Okay. Jim, you've got a student there at North St. Paul with a comment.
Yeah, to answer your question, I'm with Vanessa Bukta, a 10th grader here at North. Are the packages that you have to do difficult or easy, do you think?
Well, I think they're kind of medium-wise. They're not so easy, but then again, they're not so hard that you can't do them. But what I don't disagree with is that sometimes we'll get a standard, and the standard comes with tasks that you have to do to complete the standard. Now, some of these tasks do not even relate to what the standard is or what the standard's about. So you're doing one thing to do the task, but then you're not doing the standard, and you're completely being torn in two different ways. And yes, it is tons of paper and homework to do, but, you know, if you don't do one thing at one time, you're just basically going in all sorts of different directions, and you don't know what you're doing at the end.
Do you find your teachers helpful in when you have those kinds of concerns?
Well, when we started this, we came into high school, some of the teachers did not even know what the standards were yet. So basically, you ask them a question, they look at you like, what are you doing? You know, what are you asking me? Why are you asking me? And so, you know, even if we didn't know what to do and they didn't know what to do, what's the point in doing the standard if nobody really knows what they're doing yet?
Yeah, we hear that from a lot of students, is that they feel that they're sort of learning this whole thing with their teachers, and that isn't fair, and that's why they're guinea pigs, as we say.
All right, thanks, Jim. Kara?
Yeah.
Thanks, Gary. The students here pretty much say that it depends on the class if it's easy or difficult, but here is Trevor Knobloch, who wants to talk a little bit more about it.
Okay, the standards aren't that difficult, just the way they explain them aren't the easiest to understand. I mean, I think they can maybe bring them down, make them a little easier for us to understand, use smaller words. They use pretty good sized words in there, and I feel that they should just maybe review it and maybe have some more people to look at it. That's all I have.
Thank you, Trevor.
Okay. Jim, go ahead.
Gary, another student view here on the profile of learning from Ernest Briggs.
My name is Ernest Briggs. Roosevelt isn't actually my home school. I'm actually a Northsider, so I bus here for 45 minutes just to get here. And the only reason I can do that is because I'm in the medical magnet. And by being in the medical magnet, I have certain requirements I have to meet being in that program. And as well as the high standards is doing that. Plus, I'm expected by my family and by myself to go to college. Now I've got to meet those requirements, college requirements, medical magnet requirements, now these high standards. It's just a lot for me to worry about and stress out about. For me personally, because I'm involved in a lot of stuff in this school, because the school is great. Now,
is it doable if you stress yourself?
It's doable if I stress myself, but I don't like being stressed out.
Yeah.
But point is,
were you skating before?
Before, I didn't even hear about the high standards until like 3 months into the school. My parents didn't hear about it until I was in the school for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of communication problems, but every standard I've been given, I've passed every one of them despite it, and that's only because I stress myself out a lot. And you senators and commissioners and representatives, y'all seem pretty bent on this, but, you know, very, very fixed on not, you know, just leaving it the way it is. I guess what I got to do is, you know, like my dad and my mom say, just worry more about your academics. So, like, 2 years from now, God willing, you know, I can walk across that stage, get my diploma, and say, I got it. But there's also another key to that. our diplomas are going to be worth more than whatever yours was.
All right, Jim.
I've got a parent here, Bill Sweetman. We were talking about earlier the grading of the grad standards is sort of different than a traditional grading, and this school, I think a lot of others, has a dual grading system, which means the teachers are grading lots of assignments twice, and you've got some concerns about that system perpetuating into the future, right?
Yeah, we've got concerns here. I think that you're going to have a lot of paperwork as a result of continuing to use letter grades, continuing to use a point system, which will be required and looked at by many colleges. And at the same time, the profile scoring is going to be superimposed on that. I think that's a problem. That's certainly an area of extra work. We're already seeing report cards are coming out late because they're doing that, because they're learning how to incorporate those two sets of data. Teachers have to process two sets of data. And you certainly don't want to see that continue that way for a long period of time. There needs to be a long-term achievable plan for implementing the profiles, and that's not what we've seen so far.
Okay, Kara?
Thanks, Gary. I have a parent here who wants to defend the teacher. I keep hearing that they say that if you're having difficulty getting this into the curriculum, that these profiles are supposed to be just embedded into the curriculum. And every time the teachers have a question about that, that's what the state keeps responding by. And I think that the state is throwing the weight off of their shoulders and trying to throw it back onto the teacher's shoulders by continually saying, well, you need to embed it. Then you need to help these teachers and give them some better guidelines on how to do this and stop throwing the weight back onto the teachers because you don't have the answer.
Okay. Thanks for your comment, Tim.
Well, Gary, one issue that we haven't brought up is we have talked about English language learners. We've talked about mainstream students. One issue we haven't brought up is how these standards affect the state's some 110,000 special education students. And Michelle Seif is the coordinator of special education here at Roosevelt.
I have several concerns with how the basic standards and the profiles of learning affect the students in the school. At Roosevelt here, there's between 300 to 400 students in special ed that go through our department a year. It's probably 15% to 20% of the non-ELL population. And out of those, all of those students that I have seen, approximately 20 have passed one test or the other of the basic standards, whether it's the math or the reading, and less than 10 have passed both. So as far as a graduation standpoint, the students are very low skilled here. And I'm concerned how adding the profiles of learning on top of that task is going to affect these students. They seem very overwhelmed. They feel very pressed to try to even pass the basic standards test. And then all of a sudden, there's these profiles of learning that are put on top of it. And the students that I have seen have been overwhelmed. And they are more likely to leave school and say, forget this, I've had enough, than to stay in. And
isn't there some individual flexibility involved for special education students?
That's correct. We can, in effect, change the test score. So if a student scores only 20 or 30 or 40%, being in special ed, you can change the test score on the basic standards test to say they pass with an individual score. And sometime in their adult life, they can increase their skills. We have removed the bar. However, these students, and we also have that for the profiles of learning, that we can remove the bar for the students. The only problem with that is that, in fact, I've had two of these come across my desk this week even. After the people have taken the basic standards test, they've missed the basic standards test by 10 points, and all of a sudden people want to get into special ed so they don't have to take the basic standards test, and it has caused an increase of special ed assessments that we've seen. Good reason, bad reason, or no reason. So some people who are not disabled are seeking special ed status in order to get around the test, and this is exactly what's happened in Texas. When Texas instituted the basic standards testing, the increase of special ed referrals have increased dramatically. Another piece...
We'll probably get some comments on that from our panelists a little bit later on. Thanks, Michelle.
We're going to have to take a break here, catch up on some news headlines. If you're just joining us, we're broadcasting live today from Roosevelt High School in South Minneapolis. Today we're talking about the graduation standards, the new state graduation standards. We've been listening to students, parents, and teachers here at Roosevelt, at Hills Beaver Creek, down in the southwestern part of the state. At North High in North St. Paul, suburban North St. Paul. And right after news headlines, these folks are going to get an opportunity to talk with our panelists here, three key education policymakers in the state of Minnesota.